The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started tonight.
In the week.
Let me switch Jimmy and I. There we go.
Oh, good. There you go. Okay, good.
And
all right. You look very green, Wonga.
I don't know what's going on. You know, I've new computer, new camera. The camera's great. I've got lights all over me. Let's see what happens.
You gotta reset your whites. There we go.
Well,
better. Better.
That's what he does when better. He gives us a talking to.
He's got scurvy.
Still a little bit green. Not to worry. People listening don't care.
Eating too much for Peeny.
You like the Asian
Hulk? That's better.
The Asian what?
Hulk.
Asian Hulk. So I'm the Chinese Elvish, the Asian Hulk.
Yeah.
I've got Elvish. It going on.
It's pretty prime. Craig's here. And Dubs is here. Jimmy's here. There's Wonga. Mm-hmm. Shams. No, JC just left us. JC accidentally shaved his moustache off. Yeah. I don't know how you do that accidentally. But he looks really weird.
He told me. He changed the guard on his electric razor because he wanted to get trim off the excess around his lip, and he went too far, put the wrong guard on, and shaved off his mustache. And he actually said he started in the middle, so he did the opposite little Führer one, you know, when you just like go straight down the middle. So he was the opposite. He was the bizarro Führer.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
He quite literally let his guard down.
She's so funny.
Sometimes tries too hard, and that was an example of it. Okay. So Asa Raymond will be joining us later. We're doing this as one pod, right?
No, we're not.
Separately. Oh, we're not. Okay. Well, I'm glad we discussed
just
this.
Just kidding. Beforehand.
We did. I said we're doing two.
No, we didn't decide that we're going to knit them together as one, though.
No. Dubs put in, are we going to put them together as two? I go, no, or as one. And I said, no, let's do them as two.
Okay.
Because so then we have an extra to drop tomorrow, whichever one we feel is more pertinent and more going to get more hits.
So Asa won't be joining us this morning.
Pardon?
Asa won't be joining us tomorrow.
That's right.
But that'll be, so sorry, so there will still be a best of tomorrow?
We can drop a best of this weekend, which we will, but we'll also drop a bonus with Asa or with this big question.
So this is a 6-show week.
Yeah. This is what happens when people get all enthusiastic at 10:30 at night.
Why are you looking at me?
You know exactly who I'm looking at.
There were some, you were talking about pertinent and relevant. There were some good things, good thoughts being shared on the dark web. So I thought it was a shame to waste them on the dark web.
My fault.
Anyway, you are.
Mine.
So there will be an Asa Raymond podcast up shortly, talking about Vancouver, the Whitecaps, what's happening there, maybe a little touch on Canada as well. Okay. But this one is more about, let's focus on the big question.
Yeah.
And
am I reading, reading this out?
You can do it. Sure.
Well, I don't know if I have it, but right now.
God, this is a great start to it.
Are we live or are we just planning?
Well, no, it is. It is live. Last night, CBC, or I should say yesterday, CBC did a report on Jesse Marsh and contract extension. So the big question today is the Marsh extension, will he stay or will he go? So in tribute to good old The Clash, should he stay or should he go? Jesse seems to have brought up, the article in the CBC says, has brought up his extension before the World Cup, obviously, and wants to re-sign for a longer deal. And that's our big question today. How does Jesse handle it? How does Canada Soccer handle it? And does he deserve it? There's a few little nuances to this question. So there you go.
Where to start with this one? So I totally understand where Jesse Marsh is coming from. Why wouldn't you ask for a new contract? Things are going well. He actually loves the job. What was it he said to us on our, I think our last interview with him? I wrote it down somewhere. He says regarding this job, oh yeah, I really like this job. I really, really like this job. It's going well for him, right? He's turned this team, honestly, turned them around. They're a good team before, but he's improved this team. They're on the cusp of a World Cup. They've got some big results. They play an attractive style of football. These younger players are getting better. It's a really good place to be as a football coach. So I understand why he's going to try and leverage that into a longer extension, because we all want security. And generally speaking, the way it works with World Cup cycles is you get contracted through the World Cup and then you renegotiate. And if the World Cup goes pear-shaped, you don't get re-signed. So I understand where he's coming from. Jimmy, from Canada's soccer perspective, as great a job as he's done, would it be smart to give him a new contract before the World Cup when he's been signed for this current World Cup cycle?
I understand what Jesse's trying to do right now. And you've got to give him credit, because I think he has done a very good job bringing in players. Under Herdman, defensively, we weren't good. That was a big conversation at the back. How are they going to shore that up and fix it? He's brought in, obviously, put Cornelius and Pobito together. Defensively, we became a lot more sound and solid. He's brought in a great identity to this this national team program, where we know who we are now. We know the type of team that we are. We have an identity, and it suits the players. It's a good brand to watch. And he's very engaged in the community across the country. He's out promoting. Tal was constantly talking about it, meeting coaches, bringing coaches into the national team to help improve the standard. So he has done an awful lot. And I think if you're the CSA looking at it, you think, okay, there's a lot of boxes that he's ticked off. And he is doing a great job, but we have a World Cup that's coming up now, and there's a lot of expectation. If we give him a contract now, and we get knocked out of the group stage, then that doesn't look great either, does it? Because now we've got a manager who, at the Gold Cup, we were expected to win. We got knocked out. And this is another big test for him going into this World Cup. Yes, granted, he wants security, which all managers do, because like we always say, as a manager, you're hired to get fired. And he's definitely going to want to have a good longer-term contract. But probably the CSA might look at it and think, okay, we're willing to do something with you, but let's see how we do at this World Cup. And I think if he does well there, then yes, okay, 2 years, 3 years, give him the next Gold Cup in, was it 2027? But it's a bit of a cat and mouse kind of game at the moment right now. I think you don't want to jump into something and get burned. But with the CSA, I think they've got to be very strategic in their approach. Or maybe they have incentives. Say, okay, yes, we're going to give you a contract. If you get out of the group stage, then a clause clicks in that you are guaranteed another 2 years after this. So they'll have to sit down and discuss it and figure out what they want to do. But there's no doubt in my mind as well that if Jesse Marsh did leave, there'd be a number of countries that would take him in a heartbeat. It really would. So you don't want to lose him at the same time. So it's a difficult situation for both parties, because both do get on, him and Kevin Blue get on like a house on fire, but unfortunately the board's got to pass it, and there's going to be a lot of planning that goes on behind the scenes.
Craig?
Sure, what was that?
No, I thought Craig was jumping. I think he was like leaning forward, doing the old lean forward trick that he does when he wants to jump in.
Oh, yeah. I see.
I misread it though.
Yeah. Very strategic from Jesse Marsh, I think. And I have no problems with that, and whether the CSA give him a new contract or not. I think he deserves it. I've got no issues with that whatsoever. And it is a great job. He's enjoying it. He's done a lot of positive things with the national program. I wasn't keen on an American being signed in the first place. That's pretty well documented, but he's done a terrific job. You can't get away from it. And I think he's a good fit for our national team. And to base it just on the World Cup and three games that they get knocked out on, I mean, that's kind of what we live in the world we live in as far as results-driven business goes. And but at the same time, I think regardless of that, I think we're in good shape. And I don't think there's any chance we get knocked out on the group stage. So you run that risk a little bit. But at the same time, I just because you have a couple bad games in a World Cup, I honestly don't think that changes anything from Jesse Marsh's point of view in my estimations. I think he's doing a really good job.
But from the public perception and the way that Canada soccer is viewed and seen, this could be seen as a massive misstep if Canada crashes out in the group stages, right? With the expectations that are on this team and on Jesse Marsh and where he can bring them, the heights that he could bring them. So Canada soccer, I think this is mentioned in the press way back in, well, way back, we're only in January of 2026, a couple months ago in November, that his contract was up. So I think it's smart business to lock a guy in for longer because, as Jimmy alluded to, you mentioned it too, his personality, the fact that he's a salesman, there's a great appeal, I think, from the grassroots all the way up to pro, and the fact that he's trying to knock down the walls and make it a concerted effort to produce the best possible players in Canada, the way that he's created an allure to come play for Canada with these dual nationals. I think it would be a shame to lose that, not to mention the style of play. I think it fits, it suits Canadians in general, and that's a blanket statement. But I think we're highly athletic, intelligent players who need to commit to a style of play where you've got the peak of the pyramid, but you're also doing that with, I'm forgetting his name now, but the youth national team coach, Andrew Olivieri. He dated my sister. I should know his goddamn name.
And what happened? What happened in that relationship?
They're married to different people now. Yeah, they did not sign a contract. Yeah, that had a clause.
Didn't get re-signed,
But Jesse Marsh was talking about the fact, you know, watching the U17 team play. They won their, I think, first ever game on the world stage. Right. So like there were moments where you need to improve that, but there were moments where he saw kind of the fruits of the labor in terms of communicating and executing, expressing the philosophy that Jesse Marsh is sort of implementing from top to bottom. I think it would be a real shame to lose that. But as Jimmy's saying, this is Canada soccer hedging their bets. Like, I think you don't want it to be a distraction. You want a guy who I think has figured out in Jesse Marsh again that the international game suits him. There's a fair amount of retrospection. You know, it's a couple of windows a year, six or seven or however many it is. The communication style that he has, the fact that he's in constant contact with his players, which is completely antithetical to the way that a guy like Mauricio Pochettino operates, where he's barely, according to the media, barely speaking to the players in between windows. That's how he approaches it. But Jesse Marsh has really taken the liking, I think, to Canada, to the player pool, to the personalities, the characters that he has, who are highly talented, and he's stoking that fire and pulling the absolute best out of them. And just to finish, I heard him talking to KJ on One Soccer, like the sit down that he had with them. And he said, I've been in charge now for 27 matches since I took over in March or whatever, April of 2024, and they played their first matches against big guns in the Dutch and the French, and did incredibly well. I think it was a baptism by fire. And he said, I don't think there's one match in there where we didn't perform well. He said there were spells where sure we weren't great, but I'm proud of the way these guys performed. I think you could question that, right? Like, there have been moments where, you know, Jimmy mentioned it, crashing out of the Gold Cup to Guatemala, their opponents tomorrow, when they're expected to win and go far and win a trophy since you guys lifted it in 2000, right? So there are high expectations, lots of them on this team, but I think he sees the good, and that's what he tells the players, and they respond very well to that. And I think there's a higher ceiling for this group that we have yet to see. And Jesse Marsh being the leader of all that is integral to this team and this program having success. So I think it's a smart bit of business if Kevin Blue is able to lock him in.
What would you do, Dubs? Not Kevin, not on Jesse's side, but on Canada soccer. We're playing Canada soccer right now. What would you do?
I think I'd take the risk.
And sign him.
Mm-hmm. And that might be seen as naive, but I think, you know, Jimmy suggested some sort of clause that's triggered if they get a certain, you know, they get out of the group, or they may get to the round of 16 or something like that, right? I think that is seen as insulting if you're Jesse Marsh. And he balks, and then maybe he jumps ship. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to wait. And of course, you'd want to see it proven a little bit more at a massive tournament like a World Cup. and then you're kind of rewarded with a new contract. But I think it's smart to get it out of the way now.
And some stability as well, I think, from the player standpoint. I think they've enjoyed him as a manager, and I think they would appreciate that and maybe perform better.
I think, he's more than a head coach, right? And Kevin Blue knows that. He's a salesman as much as he is a head coach. For not just recruiting players, but bringing money in, and he's prepared to do that. I think Jimmy alluded to it. We have to remember who we are with Canada. If you wait, and it is a good World Cup, this guy can be had.
Yeah.
Right? There's going to be a lot of countries out there. Let's say the States have a poor World Cup and Poch gets canned.
Wouldn't that be
right?
Great?
Where would they be looking? Right? He's had the interview already. And he comes off a good World Cup. He can be had. I think you have to, like you said, hedge your bets. And even though it's not typical of international football, you've got to sign him before the World Cup if you can. Because to me, he's proven enough. Even if it's a bang average World Cup for Canada. Honestly, I mean, I know we say they should get out of the group, and they should, 100%. But it's not a walk through that group. There's good teams. Switzerland, maybe Italy, and even Qatar. People just dismissing Qatar. You know, do that at your peril. Mm-hmm. All right? So there is a situation here where Canada doesn't get out the group. And for me, unless they get blown away in all those games, I think Jesse Marsh has shown enough that the movement is in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Right now, and it's worth that gamble rather than gamble and losing him, Wunger.
So, Sharms, I pulled a comment from Daniel Charney. He runs the Canadian Men's National Facebook team, and he says, "I really like Jesse as our manager and appreciate everything he's done, but I'm not a fan of extending contracts before we even see the results of what we hired you to help us do. With that being said, I also don't blame him for apparently seeking an extension either." So everyone's very, I guess the word is, open to the conversation. I would, if I were Canada Soccer and I'm having a chat with Jesse and looking at Jesse's record, it would be, what position do I want Jesse in to optimize this opportunity? And so I would lean into what Dub said, that security part. If Jesse says I work better in this space, knowing I have a 2 or 3 year contract afterwards, it's not like Canada ever busted anything else other than the Gold Cup in 2000. There's no, like, this is where I'm like, I'd rather have stability and knowing we're moving up incrementally and getting better incrementally than lose someone who in 2 years or in be at the cusp of top 10. Because right now I think we're at 27, 28 in the world. And we play like we're 27, 28. We win the games that we should lose. I mean, that we should win. And we lose occasionally as a 27, 28th team to a 50th team. That happens. But we haven't reached the peak where, you know, all of a sudden we're winning every game that we should be winning. So I think the loss of Jesse would be tough to overcome, especially when you found someone with such a good puzzle fit. Right? Like these Canada and Jesse Marsh, whether he's American or not, deserve each other right now. And it's a great opportunity. And I would say it's great business for Jesse, but I also, so Daniel, I appreciate your comment, but it was also one where I'd say I disagree with you and I would lean into trying to make this guy happy because he's been doing a bang up job in his 27 games.
Yeah, it's a very valid comment. I mean, it's not often you see coaches re-signing before World Cups. They get signed for that cycle for a reason, but we're not like most nations. No. We're not England or Germany, right? And Jimmy, listen, it's a pretty sweet, he's got a sweet gig. He knows it too. Yeah. He can get more money elsewhere. He probably can. I mean, he can, for sure. If the States came sniffing around post-World Cup, he could get more than what he's making now, even though he's in a good salary, and the MLS clubs are a big part of that. But he's got a sweet gig. He gets to live at home in Italy and travel, probably not coach, I'm assuming, wherever he wants. Maybe he is coach. I don't know. But travel wherever he wants. And he does. He works hard. I'm not dismissing that. But he's got a pretty comfy gig as well. With let's be honest, can we? Not a ton of pressure. He comes from Leeds. He talks about Leeds and the experiences there. And he didn't really, really like that environment. So, Jimmy, from a job standpoint, he knows what he has here.
Yeah, I think he's determined. I love how enthusiastic he is as well about this program, this team. And I think sometimes as a manager, when you find a place where you're not so much content, but you wake up every morning thinking, yeah, I'm excited about this job and I want to make a difference. And there's no doubt he's not just sitting in Italy in the backyard making olive oil, chilling out eating beautiful pastas. I mean, he is very engaged. He travels around. He's always talking to players. He's watching matches. He's back in Canada. So he does a lot of travel. He does work hard. But he wants to stay here longer. And I think that's always great to hear when a manager says, I want to extend and I want to be here. Far too often you can see it in managers that just look like they're not engaged, that they don't want to be a part of something because they're looking for the next opportunity. And I don't think Jesse is looking for the next opportunity. I think he wants to stay here and he wants to build and he wants to be successful with this squad because he knows the potential that we have. So, you know, if you're the CSA, you're looking at that saying, finally, we've got somebody who is making a difference and who wants to be here and wants to be a part of this program and help it grow. And I think there's a lot of synergies between the two. And, you know, there's no doubt. I mean, I like him. I really like him as a manager and as a person. Every time that we've all sat down together with him, you know, he's genuine. And I don't think there's one time where we've all looked at him and went, this guy's full of shit.
No.
He really is. He's open. He's genuine. And he lets his guard down. And I like that. And you can see why the players want to play for an individual like this. So, you know, to Craig's point, I do think that the players would be delighted if he did stay on because you can see they're playing for him. And you see it on the pitch. You see it on the pitch when the players are working and they're buying into what a manager wants to do. It's because they respect him and they believe in his concept and what he wants to do. And far too often you see managers get frustrated because the players aren't buying into what they want to do. So I think we've got a good thing here with Jesse Marsh. It is a massive decision for the CSA, but I think you know, all hands are kind of leading toward keeping Jesse Marsh on because the grass isn't always greener on the other side. If he leaves, would a lot of managers want this job? Absolutely. With the squad that we have and players that are coming through, for sure they would. But are you going to get a manager that's going to be as engaged and as enthusiastic as what Jesse Marsh is? So it's a tough one, and I think you've got something good right now, and I think try to figure it out and keep them on board.
I will say, I mean, with all respect to Chris Jones, the CBC, and KJ, this isn't breaking news. I mean, he's alluded to this before, like months ago, about, you know, loving the job and you know, looking beyond the World Cup. But because we're within 5 months now of a World Cup, why are you laughing?
With all due respect, you're a fucking asshole.
What I'm saying,
no, not you. Oh. It's just when people say, with all due respect.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. No. Listen, they're valid. They're good questions, and they're good interviews, obviously. But, I mean, he has alluded to this before. It's not like, oh, my God, Jesse Marsh might want to stay beyond the World Cup.
Right, it was looming, right? It's a looming discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Craig, here's an interesting point, though, that we haven't discussed yet, is that you were, you know, you flew the flag of Canada straight away, and you mentioned that originally. Now you've come around that it was obviously the right hire. But re-signing Jesse Marsh to a multi-year contract also means that there's going to be multiple years beyond the World Cup without a Canadian coach of this team. And there's good names now available to be interviewed. We know that Tommy Wilton Jr. has had conversations before in the process of hiring Bobby Semenyiotis as well. At what point is it the right time to bring a Canadian into this fold? Wouldn't it be after a World Cup when everything's been put in place and there's nothing but positivity and the trajectory is going the right way?
I don't know. I think that the right time was probably the last time. And at this present moment, as we sit right now, we've got a manager that we like. He's doing a really good job. I think everybody can agree with that. They perform really well under him. And that's where we're at right now. And as far as I'm concerned, I think he deserves an extension. I've got no issues with that at all. I think that stability and what it shows with our association and where we're heading, that a manager like him wants an extension and wants to be part of the growth of the CSA. And we've got a hell of a squad of players that are going to be good for the next few cycles. And I think he recognizes that. And that's exciting. So from that standpoint, I'm pleased that he wants to stay.
A true sign of greatness in a human being is the ability to correct yourself and admit you were wrong, to change your mind. Craig Forrest, everyone.
Hey, I'm willing to change my mind. I'm flexible.
Yeah, and so you bloody should be. We all should
like a
be.
Yoga instructor. See,
it's not difficult. It's not difficult, is it?
You try to tie your shoes. You're not flexible.
Yeah.
Far from it.
I was going to ask Jimmy, and then you launched in Sharms to the discussion about Canadian as a head coach or like a foreigner. I don't have a problem with it either. But Jimmy, I want to go back to, you know, talking about Jesse Marsh as a good fit for this team. Like, I think the rhythms of the international game, I think he's figured out that he really enjoys that. But the style of play, again, to come back to that, I think not only is it a good fit with our players, with the talent that's currently in there as part of this generation, but it's intense, it's dynamic, it's demanding. So it's almost like it's well suited to the rhythms of the international game as well, because these players almost get microdosed, to use another Craig Forrest term, over the course of the year that is tenable. Versus being a lead setup or the previous club setups that he had, it was maybe too much and players burned out, but now they're able to kind of have it like sprinkled in throughout their year, have the Canadian experience, all that brotherhood, take it back to their clubs. Then the knock-on effect from that is also a guy like Ali Ahmed, who has emerged as an important player for Canada. And then you get the demand for Ali, the eyeballs on him, where he's moving from the Whitecaps to Norwich City. And again, it's sort of fueling that fire of Canadian players and their stock rising internationally.
Yeah. I mean, you know, going back to what you're saying about it is two completely different brands of football that you're going to play as a footballer, right? With your domestic and then on international duty. But I do like how the players can adapt. And they can play his brand. I mean, look, he gets him in for a short period of time. So he knows, okay, I'm going to get him for 10 days. So I can push him to the limits for 10 days and I don't see them again. And then off they go back to their club football. And then they've got to play whatever style that manager ends up wanting to play. But going back to their value and how, you know, how important it is for these players to perform well with this national team all around the world. They're starting to look at Canadian players. And you can see that when they make an investment in Canadian players, they're not losing. They're doing very, very well with the Canadian players. You know, Sassuolo is very happy with Kone at the moment. He's playing. Jonathan David now, he's starting to score goals and he's starting to fit into his club. Buchanan, and the list goes on and on and on. And so, yeah, the stocks are going up. And Jesse has actually helped with that because of the brand of football that they're playing. It's entertaining. It's aggressive, and the players do stand out. The number of times that, you know, I'm talking to people overseas, and they're like, wow, the national team, they look good. They're playing good football. Well, that's only increasing the value of these players because now people are noticing and thinking, well, if you can play it like that in international football, then surely you can play it at club football. So I think he genuinely has helped the Canadian players and in their development, that's for sure.
A new contract that will come with a raise, presumably. I assume that the MLS teams are still aboard this. I mean, they're financing his current deal, right? I think, was it 500K each?
It's a bit trickier with the status of Vancouver right now.
Right. Yeah. New owners come in there, say what? What are we doing?
Yeah. Where's his money going?
What?
I bought a marsh. What?
Can't build on that land. What's this line out of here?
I've just spent $400 million, and you want what?
What? What? No. What? But yeah, I mean, it's interesting though because his title is MLS head coach Canada. Now, it's MLS, but does anyone refer to it as that? That sounds very Trumpian in that demand, doesn't it? You must get a name in there. Like, really? Do you need to have your name in there? No one uses it. No one refers to you. We're now joined by MLS national team head coach. Like, no, no one says that.
It hasn't been. It hasn't taken off like gangbusters, right?
That's we do every time he's on.
Well, yeah. To make fun of him, yeah. Just to make fun, but. Hopefully they'll move on from there. But is it? I think that is an interesting thing. I mean, it would be very bad form if any other MLS team said, "No, we're not doing it now."
Right.
Throw the toys out the pram. Although 500K can bring in a pretty decent midfielder, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver's all right.
It's interesting to me. We talk about, you guys mentioned his salesman. I don't look at it like a salesman because I don't think he has to lean into that. It's part of his personality to have a chat with people. And to Jimmy's point, every time I think we've been in person 3 or 4 different times and on the show 3 or 4 different times, he's very authentic. And to the point where I just got yesterday, and I don't know if I forwarded to you guys, but the Blackfin, who's his agency out in Vancouver, is doing a fireside chat with Jesse Marsh. And, you know, I was just thinking, would John Herdman do this? Would Bev Priestman do this? Have an agency booking me for opportunities for a chat? And not judging them, just saying the different kind of personalities, that comes so, I guess, so natural to him, where he's spreading the gospel of Canada soccer. And it's not anything other than, hey, get on board. Our social media manager used the, hey, get on board the bandwagon. It's not exclusive. It's enjoy yourself with us. And I get that sense out of Jesse. He likes being put to a test and he likes the attention to, hey, I'm putting something out there that everyone should enjoy. So I'm happy with it. It's almost like welcoming you to your restaurant that you're so proud of. He's creating this environment that every Canadian can get on board with and lots of European scouts can get on board with because they're seeing these players play at their optimal. That's all.
Yeah, but I think Jesse is also, he's a pro. And I think if he left Canada and went to Indonesia or the States or a club, they get in the same Jesse Marsh.
Oh, no, I agree. That's not my point. I'm not saying he wouldn't bring that. I'm saying he's consistent that way. He's bringing that to anywhere he's going because it's natural for him.
Yeah, I guess it is more suited to international football too. As he found out, the Leeds supporters wouldn't have been as open to his shtick. And that's partly because he's American, which is extremely unfair.
Yeah.
Right? And also the team are struggling. He walked into a struggling team, in fairness.
Did well, you look how long it took to win over Craig Forrest. A year and a half, right?
No, I think by Copa, Craig was won over, wasn't he?
Yeah, maybe.
I think by Copa, Craig. All right, yeah, he's doing a pretty good job. Fair enough.
He's good in the boardroom, too. Not everybody is good in that environment. But when you're bringing him in to talk about raising money or doing things for the association and the program, he's excellent in those types of environments. That goes a long way.
So was John, though, I think, was very good in those environments.
Oh, yeah.
They are similar. That, right, Craig? There are some real comparisons between these two guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, John was the first one that I know of that decided, hey, I'm going to knock on doors. He did it himself. Right. Trying looking for money and raised a significant amount that really put us in a good position going into Qatar.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally knocking on doors. They gave him a bus. Different generation, different era, right? Back in those days, they gave him a bus fare. And these days, Jesse's flying around the world. That's not true.
Yeah. It's a good gig for him. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. He said, not a lot of pressure here. He's not getting pounded like you do in the States. If you're not performing well. So it's a good situation. You can live under the olive trees and show up every once in a while. Race
gets away from his family just enough, eh, Craig?
Perfect. Is that right? It's a perfect gig.
Yep. Dubs would be so happy. I don't have to be at home.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't be at the rink tonight. I've got to be in Rome.
That's right.
Anyway, listen, let's before we close it, round the table, would you sign him right now? Yes or no, Dubs?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yeah.
Wonger?
6 years, baby. Twice as long as normal.
Arbitrary. 6 years.
I would too, yes. And then my opinion has changed on that, I think, generally speaking, because I do get the argument that you don't do this in football. You wait and see how they perform at tournaments. But yeah, Gold Cup was not good. Copa was. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it.
Oh, no, I want to say something. I just want to say, Kevin Blue, thank you. So we painted you in a corner.
Yeah.
What's that? There's some comedy sketch with two guys who are besties, and they're doing all these events, these things together. You know, they're hanging out, you know. And what is it SNL sketch? Anyway, I got this vision of Jesse and Kevin Blue hanging out, you know. They're going to the movies. They're fishing together. They're going for jogs along, you know,
boardwalk. If they're not running like that.
Oh, my God.
That's not even. They're not high shoulders?
No.
What are you doing? Okay.
Hey, Phoebe Buffay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
A what buffet?
Phoebe.
Phoebe Buffay. Phoebe. From France. Oh,
that's right, yeah. All right. That's anything else you want to interject with, Wonger? No?
No, sorry. Your ending was brilliant and I screwed it up. Sorry.
I don't care if you like, actually. Retweet and subscribe. It's way more important to our algorithms. Liking, who cares? Means nothing.
No, you should like too, but liking on Twitter doesn't do anything. Yeah. It doesn't show up. Right.
Yeah. But definitely retweet. That helps.
Yeah.
And check out our newsletter. The comes out today, actually.
Yeah.
So sign up on wearefootyprime.com.
Took me ages,
Jimmy,
to write.
Craig, have you yet? I actually mentioned both Jimmy and Craig in today's newsletter. Challenged them. So we shall see. All right, that's Footy Prime. We're back later with Acer Rain.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Maybe. Tomorrow. Yeah. See ya. Bye.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter.